From the Middle is a proud and founding member of Odd Pods Media. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in episode 159 of From the Middle. We are three middle-class guys living in the middle of America, and the middle chapters of our lives are the point of view that's somewhere in the middle. We're a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview-style podcast. Really, it's just like Seinfeld, but in the Midwest. In this episode, we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about Father's Day. Corey got some sneakers and went on vacation with some friends. Kendall went camping and had a raccoon flip him off. And then we talked about all kinds of things we're watching in the back half. You're going to love this one, so check it out.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
Dylan, how you doing, buddy?
So good. I saw Wilford Brimley today.
What?
I saw Wilford Brimley. I mean, he had a ponytail and a construction vest on. So in hindsight, it might have just been a construction worker, but very exciting. I honestly thought he was dead after all the commercials.
That guy, Wilford Brimley. I had to look up to remind myself who he is.
Yeah, I saw him today, so I remember.
For those who don't know, you will immediately understand who we're talking about when I tell you Quaker Oatmeal guy and diabetes guy.
Yeah, diabetes.
Diabetes. Yeah, oh. So I saw him along the side of the road in Ohio.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. I don't know what he was doing.
After such an illustrious career, I'm shocked that he went back to road worker, but
who knows how some of these guys unwind after Hollywood, you know?
Times are tough. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. Happy belated Father's Day to all the dads out there. Did you guys have a good Father's Day? What'd y'all do?
Go ahead, Dylan. You've got a sweet new hat.
I do. I have a hat that has camo on it and it's black. It's pretty cool. If you're not watching on YouTube, you should be. Go subscribe and hit the dingy bell. And then it says girl dad. So either I'm a girly dad or I'm the dad of a girl. But if it's girly dad, it feels just like a Hans and Franz joke, which I appreciate anyway. Very good. I was very happy with the food selection across the weekend for Father's Day. There was grilled burgers. There was Chipotle. So I feel catered Chipotle. So I feel very, very good about all the food that I ate all weekend. I got this pretty sweet, Corey will appreciate, well, everyone will, but especially Corey for his desk. I got this 3D printed Darth Vader who holds your pen. Ooh,
that looks very fun.
That's really cool. Is that like an Etsy find? Oh,
I'm sure. I'll have to ask Bree, and if I can get the link, I'll share it out on social. But he can sit on my desk and hold my Sharpie pen now.
Very nice.
That's fantastic.
You need a lightsaber pen now.
I do need a lightsaber. I'm sure I have one. It's like buried in a box somewhere, some kind of lightsaber pen. But I love the just the little bit of
the geometry of the cuts.
It feels like an N64 character a little bit for all the gamers that, you know, it's a very neat Darth Vader 3D printed pen holder. So that's some MeUndies. I ordered some Lego. So all in all, very happy. Very good weekend. How about you guys?
Goodness gracious. So my actual Father's Day, like Sunday, it was cool. I mean, I got to, I ate lunch with one of the kids at Roosters, and we sat at the bar and watched the Westminster dog agility competition. And so that was fun. So I had a camping trip Thursday through Saturday. And that was my Father's Day gift, because Amy is not a camper. And she, the whole time I'm telling her that, like, man, I want everything to go right with this camping trip. And because I want you to do it again. And she's like, look, I can be a big girl. And but anyway, it was great. And she had fun. She enjoyed it. She will not yet describe herself as a camper, but we're going to be working on that. And we're going to go camping many, many, many more times every chance that I get. So, well, I mean, we bought a bunch of stuff. So,
and it looks like you found the perfect spot. You had a little creek running through your site, and
dude, yeah. So, here's a little secret about campgrounds is that if you're willing to be a tent camper, and I'm willing to be a tent camper, you can get far better sites very often than the RVers can get. Mm. And case in point, this campground that we were at, there was a creek that ran alongside the entire length of the campground. And I mean, there's no way that you would have been able to pull an RV up in between the trees and things to get to this creek. Tent campers, that's where you go and camp right there. So we were literally, I mean, it was, kids were waiting in the creek. One morning, I mean, we woke up, I started a fire, cooked bacon and eggs over the fire. We were done eating by like 7:30 or so in the morning. And I'm just like sitting there, and my wife like went off to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there like in a nice, cool, brisk morning, watching my son and daughter wade through a creek, like sitting right next to my tent. Like that's how we spent our morning. And it's, yeah. Camping is beautiful. You've got to be willing to put up with some things. But this place was amazing. It reminded me of a campground that we used to go to as kids, which I really love that about it. But I mean, it had a lot of things that campgrounds shouldn't have. So they had like two swimming pools and a splash pad and all kinds of things. But then it also had some like campy stuff. So it had like a little high ropes course. Some other multiple playgrounds and a dog park and things. We almost didn't go to this campground. We actually had reservations booked for another one. And so the whole deal, the way the timeline was going to work out, was on Thursday, I was going to pack up the car and the kids, and we were going to go and set up camp early Thursday afternoon while Amy was still at work, and then she would come later and join us. And so I get in the car, everything is packed up. I pull up the website just to make sure I have the right address. And I see right there front and center on the website that it said, as of today, we no longer have a pool. It didn't say pool temporarily closed. It just said, we don't have a pool anymore. And that raised a little bit of a red flag, but I knew that this place also had a pond with a little man-made sandy beach kind of thing on it. And I figured that that'd be fine. And so like, I just called up Amy, and while we're driving to this campground, which is about 45 minutes away or so, Amy calls me. And so I'm sitting there now in a Walmart parking lot in the town, like 2 miles away from the campground. I would have already have been there at the campground and checked in had I not had to stop in at a Walmart to get a couple more things. And she's like, what do you think about maybe going somewhere else? And my mind for a split second, now she continued her sentence, so I didn't have time to freak out. But my mind was like, you know, I'm a planner. You know, I have three young children in the back of my car that is filled to the gills with camping stuff. And we're like here, and now you're telling me you want to change the plans. And so she explained to me that after I had told her that the pool no longer existed, apparently, she tried to get a hold of the place, and then she started reading some reviews, and the reviews were all talking about how this place had like changed ownership and is now apparently a sty. And the pond has algae growing all the way up to the beach. Like you can't get past the algae to go swimming. And the pool hasn't worked for a very long time, like all season apparently. And so many things are in disrepair. The bathrooms just have like muddy floors, and they're in disrepair. And which is funny because like when I had booked this place like a month or so ago, all the reviews were wonderful, raving. This is a wonderful, cute little family campground. But then all the ones from this season within the past couple of weeks, in other words, after I booked it, are horrible.
Oh.
And like, apparently there's like a lady who OD'd in the parking lot recently.
Oh my god!
There's lots of drug activity going on. So my wife had called me, and I love her so much for this because she knows me. She's like, I already called another campground and they said that if I call them back, we can go there. We can check in right now. You could go there instead. So I said, yeah, let's do that. And we ended up camping on the creek. And
what a loving wife to know you well enough to know that it was going to take you a while as a planner to wrap your mind around the new plan, but had already done the research to know that yes, the place you were headed was bad news bears and the place you were going was going to be way better. That's yeah, awesome.
It was, not to mention the bathroom sign that says, please don't throw away the toilet paper, turn over and use again.
Well, it'd be a rookie move to go to a campground without your own toilet paper, but
it's true. Or at least a few extra pillowcases, right?
Yeah, that was good. And then one other quick story about camping that I want to share, and something that I forgot about until I encountered one, is that raccoons at campgrounds are not afraid of people. They're not necessarily, that doesn't mean they're rabid. They're not necessarily rabid. I mean, they could be, but they don't care that there's people around. And we're sitting at the first night, like the rest of the family's in the tent sleeping or trying to get to sleep. And I'm sitting out in the dark in front of the tent. And over at our picnic table, because we're savvy campers, like we had put all of our food and everything away in the vehicles prior to it getting dark out. The only thing left was I was going to take the trash to the dumpster before I went to bed. And I had yet to do that. And it was in a bag that was closed up. I hear a noise and the picnic table right next to me, there's a raccoon who had gotten on top of the table and is like sniffing around like a lantern and stuff that's on our table. And I turned around and like yelled at him to get out of here. And he's just stopped and looked at me. Didn't care. So then I stood up. When I stood up, he got off the picnic table, but he was still right there at the picnic table. Only now he's just turning and staring at me. I had a flashlight in my pocket. I'm shining the flashlight at him. He doesn't care. I find a stick on the ground. And while I'm picking up the stick, this raccoon, in the middle of our little confrontation, starts opening the bag.
And just a complete act of defiance.
Yes. I mean, we're talking like, that's like these raccoons. Like if you have just like a normal like Igloo or Coleman cooler, that's just like a snug fit lid that pops open. These raccoons can open those. They know how to open. They know their way around a cooler. So like you can't even leave your cooler out. But unless you bungee it shut or something, but he's like opening this trash bag. And at that point, like I started charging him now with a stick and he turned around and left at that point, didn't run away in a panic, just turned around and left. Yeah. And and then apparently that morning I had been up way before everybody else and I just went for a walk by myself. And, when I came back, my wife was telling me that like, so my oldest son, Isaac, he woke up apparently shortly after I did and just asked if he could go sit outside. And so he was sitting in a tent and my wife said like, she recalled like just somewhere in the back of her dreamy land, someone saying, "Hey buddy, how are you?" Come to find out that voice in the back of her dream was our son. Sitting in front of our tent, talking to a raccoon that was just like slowly making his way around our tent, sniffing around our tent. And then started walking away and hid behind, in his words, like a cartoon, hid behind a tree, poked around, went to another tree, hid behind that tree, poked around, and then left. So I was reminded of campground raccoons and how brazen those little bastards are.
Yeah, I mean they'll flip you off as they walk away dragging your bag of Doritos with them. Right? It's like they don't even care. And one thing I forgot to mention too, that was Father's Day weekend adjacent, and you'll know why I mean adjacent. The extended family decided to go to the Columbus Zoo on Friday when it was like 90 degrees. So obviously that wasn't the fathers that chose that. That was the extended family and for the children. I will say though, the main part of the trip was going for Columbus Zoo. One of the best zoos in the country has a dinosaur ride right now where you can kind of, you know, there's the water boat and you get in and there's different dinosaurs or whatever. That's the main reason we were going. Although we got my daughter a ticket to the carousel and she got up in line, decided it was too loud, didn't want to get on. I understood it was kind of loud. So we were sitting in the chairs around the edge of the carousel, watching her cousins, some of her cousins on the carousel. And I was very proud of her. Without prompt, she decided she was going to try it, but she just, if she was going to try it, she wanted to do it on, try the bench. And sit on the bench of the carousel and not ride a horse, but that she was willing to try it without prompt. And so okay. I was very proud of her and took that opportunity to talk to her after about how brave she was and how sometimes things can seem scary, but it's still worth trying it. And maybe next time she could try the horse. So I did forget to mention that because it was Father's Day adjacent. Again, clearly the fathers didn't pick that activity, but it was a really nice moment. And I'm glad I got to stand behind the bench and ride with her as she hopped on the carousel. So we had a good time.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Cool. Kendall, I love your story. And I'm curious, do the primitive campsites have trees for a hammock?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't, I'd be hard pressed to think of a campground where that would be hard to find
two trees that are like 10 feet apart. Awesome. You'll have to give me deets after we record.
Yeah.
So yeah, Father's Day was great. Sherry and the kids know that I love a big breakfast. So Sherry had gone out to my favorite donut shop here in town, Yummy Donuts, and got some of the big poofy bread type donuts, not those dense cake donuts. I'm not a monster. got me donuts and a Starbucks, and also made a breakfast with sausage links, sausage patties, and these little egg things that you put in like a muffin tin. You put Canadian bacon in a muffin tin and then put the egg on top and then cook it all together. So it's these little morsels of breakfast goodness.
So you have a Canadian bacon cup.
Yep.
Egg in it. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
With egg in it and then cheese and some seasoning. Mm. So that was spectacular with very thoughtful cards and letters. And then church. And then after church, my wife had to take our middle child to camp, church camp. And so I had the afternoon open and thought, you know what? I'm going to ride the Harley down to see Dylan and I's dad, which is about an hour away, and took back roads and really enjoyed that and just had a nice, relaxing day. So it was really nice. 2 weeks ago, we were on vacation to our favorite little spot on the East Coast, Topsail Island, North Carolina. And this was a really big deal for our family because it was the first year where we were going to vacation with another family. I don't know if you guys have friend groups where you're like, they mention casually in conversation one night, we should vacation together sometime. You're thinking, Oh, you never really, because you know, everybody has different expectations of what vacation
right.
is, right? Mm. So, you know how we love breaking down etiquette and things like that. this was going to be our first foray into the adventure of vacationing with another family. Some of the conversations with this family before vacation were like them going, so like, what kind of vacation family are you? And we're like, what do you mean? And they were like, so do you guys like have an itinerary for every day? And we're like, no. We literally do nothing. And they're like, yeah, sure. But like, what do you do? And we're like, no, we don't do anything. We go from the beach to the pool, to the house or the condo, back to the beach, back to the pool. We might not even leave all week the house. We might just stay where we are because we're at the beach to be at the beach. And they're like, that sounds amazing. So it just so happens that our expectations for what a good vacation looked like perfectly aligned. And we had an absolutely wonderful time. And it couldn't have gone better. All the kids got along. we did the whole, like, you guys cook for everybody one night, we'll cook for everybody the next night sort of thing. So the only thing that was planned was that we at least prepped one meal for the entire party for the week. It went so great that on the last night, we were all kind of thinking it, but nobody wanted to say it, which was like, so do we want to do this again next year?
Yeah.
Which was prompted by an email from the realty company into Sherry's email that said, and this is a genius marketing move, by the way, this house is yours for this week next year. If you want it for the next 72 hours, you have dibs. But if we don't hear from you by 5 o'clock on Monday, it goes to the open market and is anybody's to
take.
And so Sherry brought up at dinner on the last night, like, so if you guys happen to want to do, and we all bit and we're very excited. So we've already booked the same house for next week, next year, because it went so well. But yeah, that was just amazing. And I thought was one of those really interesting, you know, family dynamic things where you're like, do we vacation with another family? And how does that go? And it just, it couldn't have gone better. We just had a wonderful time. So
the main question is, did your friend guests leave with more drinks than they brought?
Yeah.
Did they bring a 24 pack and leave with a couple 24 packs?
We vacationed with the most generous family who bought most of the groceries, most of the snacks, most of the beverages, adult and otherwise, and couldn't care less who took what and how many of what. And they were just so generous, and it was just a blast. Not the type of family that they're like counting the exact percentage of what they owe for things. They're like, we're just bringing stuff and who cares who goes home with what. Let's just have a great week. It was awesome.
Did you, so what I'm hearing is you guys,
we took advantage. Yeah, we took advantage. Yeah, 100%.
That's what I'm hearing. Got it. Okay.
Did you have to share a bathroom with these people?
We did not.
Oh, good.
There was a.
You don't know anything about their flushing habits.
We don't. Do you have an update on a flushing situation?
Trying to cut up your story. Oh no, is my internet being weird again?
Just for a second.
Yep, you might want to jump back to the beginning of your story, but I still can't hear you. Can you there?
Oh, well, I haven't been talking for a little while. I've been just waiting for things to come back.
Okay, we got you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. This is a father's, I think, worst nightmare. You're raising a child, a kid, and you want him to be everything that you picture as being good in the world when he grows up. And then at some point he starts making his own decisions and developing his own lifestyle. And you start just kind of like thinking to yourself, okay, is this just a little bit off? But is this going to be a thing? And at one point, should I intervene? And if I do, when? Is it too early? Because I don't want to be too late. I think I might be raising a never flusher.
No, say it isn't so.
It has never been a problem.
There's still time, right?
He's 7 years old. He's going to be 8 soon. For almost 8 years of his life, he's been fine with flushing the toilet. Granted, a couple of those years, he had never flushed a toilet. It's only popped up within the last couple of months.
Has he been hanging out with never flushers? How did this start?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And
disturbing news.
I don't know. So the only thing that the timeline oddly works out to when he started never flushing to the answers from the middle bit that we did about the never flusher. And I don't think he listens to our podcast, but now I'm kind of wondering if that introduced him to the world of never flushing. Maybe because I think we were, if we were recording remotely, he could have been like listening through the floor to us recording.
Question.
In any case, yeah.
Had he recently been on a guy's weekend trip to a cabin?
No, he has not.
Okay.
Oh gosh. Man, you don't, he's flushing in public restrooms.
Yeah, we've got to put a stop to this. You don't want him to be in his mid-30s and still not flushing. That would be problematic.
Catastrophic. Would be,
as we've heard. Anyway, thought I'd bring that up. I don't know what to do.
Well, speaking of I don't know, man. I don't know the answer to that, but we've got to intervene for sure. Speaking of topics brought up in previous episodes, way back in episode 85, we had Harley Alibi on the podcast, and what has now become one of our most infamous stories, where I accidentally stole some Jordans, some Air Jordan 1s from the handicapped. And if you'd like to hear that story, I tell it in great detail in that episode. It was Harley then who educated me on the proper way to acquire some Air Jordans when they drop from Nike's website, as opposed to having to go through the horrifically challenging and expensive secondhand market where they get marked up to drastic rates. And it's the Nike Sneakers app. And there's an algorithm that learns your style and preferences. And you say, I like those. And you put a little heart by it, very similar to Instagram. And you say, notify me when these hit the market and become available. But it's a gigantic draw/lottery. And the likelihood that you'll end up hitting, is what they call it, on that app is very slim. But there was a pair that was coming up that were red, white, and black, which I want to wear when I wear my Ohio State gear. And I saw them and thought they looked very sharp. So I entered my name in that drawing. And I am pleased to say that I have successfully hit the lottery and scored myself a pair of Air Jordan 1 Heritage. I'm sharing the image of them now on the YouTubes. And here's how cool Harley is. I texted him when there was like a few minutes left, because you only have a few minutes to enter yourself into the drawing to get the opportunity to buy them at full retail price. And I said, hey, man, these are about to go off the market. But I thought you'd like these because they're, you know, anytime there are Jordans with red on them, they seem to go especially quickly because that's sort of like iconic look. These are sort of a weird colorway. Like holes, man. The red is usually on the toe of the classic Jordan. So these are kind of flipped. They're kind of inverted colors a little bit on the front. Anyway, Harley is so nice that he says to me, he says, what's your size? And I say 11 and a half. And he says, I'm going to enter on your behalf through my app to increase your chances of winning. And I was like, what a guy. Yeah. So I excitedly tell him that I won. So did he. So now Harley is stuck with a pair of Jordans in a size that he does not wear. So I said, dude, that is so thoughtful of you. You didn't have to do that, but I really appreciate it. You'll have no problem selling them, I'm sure. But if you'd like to make it my problem, I will buy them from you. And either have two pairs
and then flip them
but his brother said that he wanted them. But I just thought that was so nice. And I was excited to see that the proper way to get Jordans without spending an arm and a leg, no pun intended, to episode 85 was it actually works. Like it does work. And Nike ships them right away and they get to your house a few days later. So I was very excited. And it was a nice follow up to something we've brought up before. So
if you could pass along that memo and process to Sony for the PlayStation 5, I would be eternally grateful. Or if any listeners have an extra one on hand that's unopened with the disc version, I will buy it off of you.
I have a connection. I can hook you up and I will tell you all about it when we hear some words from some of our friends and the OddPods Media Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Pantsless Aaron.
This is Stevie.
And I'm Augie.
And we are BFYTW, a podcast all about playing games and having fun. Our games are usually based on British panel shows and game shows, but we'll play anything that captures our attention and imagination. Why? It's right there in the title.
You'll never guess what the F stands for.
So there's a Brian Regan bit that he finds himself watching fishing videos. And the bit is like, I'm not even fishing. I'm just watching other people fishing. And I had a moment where that bit came to mind because you know how it is sometimes. You're just perusing YouTube and you just sort of go down this rabbit hole of like related videos. So I stumble upon a whole lane, a whole niche, a whole dark corner of YouTube that is like landscaping videos and just like professional landscapers using really good equipment and doing time lapses of the transformations of these yards.
Pressure washing? Mm-hmm. Is there pressure washing?
Yeah. Yeah. And pressure washing videos and how satisfying those are to watch.
Are they satisfying?
I just stumbled upon this guy who he actually, I think he lives in Texas. I'm going to shout out his channel because it's super awesome of him, what he does. He finds somebody in his neighborhood that the lawn seems to be especially overgrown. Typically, it's an older resident who can't care for the lawn themselves. And he just offers to do it for them totally free. And because it's so bad, it makes the transformation video even that more intriguing. And I sat and watched this guy. His videos are like 45 minutes to an hour long. And I find myself watching landscaping videos. And I'm like, my yard needs mowed. My yard needs edged. But it was just so well done. And he does such a good job. It's called SB Mowing. And I guess he's one of just many landscaping videos, landscaping companies on YouTube that have their own channels. But it's just one guy. And he's got all the best edgers and trimmers. A mower that drives right up into the back of his truck, a pressure washer that's hooked up and everything. And I'm like, I didn't even know this was like a whole lane of YouTube.
Mm-hmm. YouTube's got everything, man. I saw one of those landscaping videos where a guy was mowing a lawn, a way overgrown lawn from an abandoned house and started smelling something funky and called the police and they found a body.
No way.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
YouTube is crazy. Another thing I found is this bass fisherman in Alabama. His channel is Bama Bass. And he lives or at least owns property that was a peanut farm. But he wanted to create his own place to fish for bass for generations in his family. So he takes a whole chunk of this peanut farm and digs a 5-acre pond that at its deepest is 12 feet deep, but it is an average of 6 feet deep and has 850 dump trucks of clay brought in to, they have to get a clay layer between where the water is going to be and the rest of the dirt. Otherwise the water just seeps out. Mm-hmm. So this guy for 6 months transforms this 5-acre chunk of his peanut farm into a immaculate bass haven and all of the science and biology that's required because you got to bring in different species of fish at different times. And then your water's got to be at certain levels. And then he's all this wildlife from all the woods around this peanut farm, deer and different species of birds and coyotes and fox and all this stuff starts coming in because he's now created a little mini ecosystem on his property. And I'm like watching this guy for hours on YouTube. I mean, I see why people get sucked in.
Yeah.
It's fun. Interesting. What are you guys watching other than the Stanley Cup?
What, right now? No, I'm not right watching now, the Stanley Cup speak? Right now. Like, it's not. Man, nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. I'm watching The Sopranos. Have I mentioned that before?
I don't think so.
I'm short-term in HBO right now, and I watched like half of the Batman and I'm not
couldn't get through it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily have strong opinions. It's just like I was watching it and I was like, yeah, I'd rather be doing something else right now. And then it's been hard to go back to it. And so I don't plan on going back to it, but I am watching The Sopranos while I have HBMO. HBMO. I did that last time. HBO. And when I'm done with that, I'm going to drop HBO and then pick up Paramount and I'm going to watch Halo. Sweet. Among other things from Paramount. But that's in my world, is trying to sprint through The Sopranos, which like was on for a very long time. So there's a lot to watch there. And so I've kind of like laxed on anything else to try to get rid of HBO.
Is this a first time watch for you, or is this
It is. I've never seen The Sopranos.
And where are you in the show?
I think I'm toward the end of the third season at the moment.
And what are you feeling about it?
I love it. I love it. Yeah,
it's good, right?
It is. Yeah, it sucks you in for sure.
Did you find, because I did this a handful of years ago, I had always heard one of the greatest TV series of all time, that and the drug one. What's the drug one? The Wire. Highly considered some of the greatest series of all time. I think we've even talked about this on the podcast before. Did it take you a minute to get familiar with the pace of what television was like? What was that, 20 years ago, 30 years ago now?
Right. I don't feel that way.
Okay.
With The Sopranos. Now, maybe some of that has to do with the fact that, like, you know, I recently watched Boston Legal and got way into that. And so, like, I've watched some old stuff recently.
Gotcha.
But no, I didn't feel that way. I was into it right away. There's just something mystifying about watching something about the mafia world.
Yeah.
That in and of itself pulls me in.
Yeah. I feel the same way when watching mafia stuff. It's like, there's this whole other way of life that actually exists, mm-hmm. that is so hard to imagine. And seeing, like, I guess it's, you know, from people who know what that world is like, pretty true to form.
Yeah. I mean, one of the main actors in the film is ex-mafia and like, and turned consultant and actor on the series.
I'll be interested to see if you watch the spinoff film that HBO did after.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah. It goes back. We've talked about it on the cast before. It goes back and follows the life of the uncle. And you see a young Tony.
Okay.
And it's played by the actor that portrayed Tony. It's
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini's actual son plays young Tony.
Oh, wow.
I'm blanking on the name of that. I watched it and we mentioned it a while ago. But anyway, I'll pull it up. Has anybody seen Top Gun in theaters?
Not yet, man. No. You have?
I have.
And?
Oh, my gosh. People wouldn't shut up about it, saying, I mean, some of the highest praise it can receive is better than the first, better than the original, which always gives me pause, because it's the original that creates the whole. I mean, there are songs from that film that the film made those artists, and you can't think of some of those songs without thinking of that film. It like created the genre in a way. So it's hard to say it's better. So good. So good. If you can catch it in theaters before it leaves theaters, you need to see it on a big screen with seats that rumble because the volume is so loud. But I will say, one of the funniest moments on the podcast is when I flipped out about the term fan service, right? Fan service is used as a derogatory term by highfalutin film critics that think they're better than the creators of a franchise doing anything that the fans would like somehow that lessens the quality or artistry or thoughtfulness of a film. I'm going to get on that soapbox again if I'm not careful, but as great as it was, if you're going to say that about things like Star Wars, you absolutely have to say it about this movie as well. It was one of the most fan servicey movies of all time. Some things were beat for beat, like tone for tone, style for style, duplicates of the first, just in a slightly different context or slightly different way. Hey, they don't play beach volleyball. They play beach football, but it's still at sunset and there's still glistening muscles everywhere set to music. So like, it's all of the fan service shticks and gimmicks and gags. And I loved every minute of it. And that's fine. And it doesn't make it any less enjoyable or fun. It was so great. And you need to go see it.
Do you know why? Do you know why it doesn't bother people that that movie is fan servicey and just Top Gun all over? Because nobody went to the first Top Gun to get a deep movie anyways. It's like people want to like look at Star Wars and examine the depths of the story that's being told and the characters and the whatever. And so that's an insult when people use fan service for Star Wars. It's not, because there are very simple people in the world that like, I want to see machine guns and things blow up. And that's what this kind of movie is built for, that person. And they don't care. That person doesn't care at all, because they're not on movie forums and Reddit breaking down films and all that. They could care less. It's the same people that watched Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, John Wayne over and over and over again, because it doesn't matter. We all know Steven Seagal is a good actor. I'm still going to watch Under Siege because it's interesting. It's like nobody is breaking down any of those guys' movies for being deep or whatever. It's just a fun summer blockbuster popcorn movie, action thrill. And that's what Top Gun is. But slap a really good soundtrack on it.
Absolutely.
That's why no one cares that it's fan servicey, because that's exactly what that's supposed to be.
Yep. And Kendall, your Sopranos spinoff movie is called The Many Saints of Newark, which is available on HBO streaming. HBO. You know what else is another super fan servicey movie that I just saw in theaters? The Jurassic World movie. You brought back all the original actors to mix up with all the new actors. And it was a bunch of fan service, but this one was a bad. So this one was bad. As much as my wife has introduced the Jurassic Park movies to all of our kids, and it's really cute. It's become like her thing with them, is to expose them, in case our son really, if what boy doesn't love dinosaurs? Everybody can love dinosaurs. but it's become like their thing. And so she was really excited to take him to see it. Even she walked out of there and was like, it was really great to see those original actors on the screen, but this movie didn't know what it wanted to be. And I think they shot parts of it during COVID and it was re-edited a bunch of times. And the whole storyline is extremely convoluted. And there's this whole chunk that you're like, what did that have to do with the rest of the movie? But you kind of don't care, because it's dinosaurs and all the original actors. And so you're like, this is fun. And Jeff Goldblum is great. And they make some jokes about like him in the first movie. And it's just, but yeah, where Top Gun was fan service and good, Jurassic World, in my opinion and my family's opinion, was fan service. And you're still entertained for 3 hours, but not great.
Jurassic World is a little bit more of an example of walking the line between some layers and some depth, but also dinosaurs just destroying things, and that's cool. And so they would need a little bit more thought, because the first Jurassic Park was so good. Mm-hmm. It was going to be hard for them to make anything on a couple levels, both in the action and the depth of the story and what was happening in the moral. It's a little more challenging of a movie to repeat now for the fifth time and make it as good as the first one.
Isn't it sixth? I think. Oh, yeah. Repeat for the fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. Repeat for the fifth.
It's hard to repeat the same old premise over and over again. And like, at some point it's going to peter out. You're either going to have to do some really crazy risk-taking stuff that make it so unrealistic that people are like, what is this? Or at some point, it's just going to become the same movie over and over and over again. Like, it's there's already like the meme about Jurassic Park. Like, when are they going to learn? Don't bring the dinosaurs back.
Yeah,
right. You know, it's like Star Wars, in like, you know, oh no, another Death Star.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You have to like call it out in the movie. Like, isn't this really just another Death Star?
Somebody proposed this idea, and I don't know if it's true or not, because they use Top Gun as an analogy versus Jurassic Park. Did you go back and watch the original Top Gun recently before you watched Maverick?
I did not.
So somebody was making the point that one of the major differences too on Jurassic Park being a bit more thoughtful in some of the story and the depth of the characters and what's happening, whatever, than Top Gun. They also made the point that the original Jurassic Park also holds up really, really well to go back and watch it. And so because of that, people are more likely to go back and watch it. And so therefore are more aware of how newer ones don't present as well versus maybe Top Gun, that you're watching Meg Ryan do a weird accent. And you're like, yeah, the original one doesn't hold up. So a new one, a new Top Gun can kind of replace the original one. And it's okay because, you know, yeah, I don't know if that's a thing. I didn't go back. I haven't watched Maverick and I haven't gone back to watch the original Top Gun, but I have watched Jurassic Park in the last year or two, and it does still hold up incredibly well, even with the technology being dated, like the computers they're working on or whatever, the acting, the animatronics, everything else is really good. And so that reference might be in a lot more people's head as they go watch another Jurassic Park or World versus Top Gun. It's been like 30 years and they're like, cool, this one's neat.
Yeah.
It replaces the original.
Yeah. Well, one last thing I have to share that I've been watching. Well, not that I've been watching, more that I stumbled upon. You guys know that I've been into F1. F1 was on this past weekend, but it was in Montreal. And it's kind of weird which ESPN networks televise the race, because it's not like a main sport. It's sometimes on like ESPN3 or like on ESPN WHD. And I don't even like know what that is. So sometimes what you have to end up doing on my DVR is I have to like wait for a replay much later in the evening. So like the original race may have been on at 12:30, but they're going to replay it at 11 p.m. On the night of the race. So you have to avoid social media and then like DVR it or watch it at that weird time. So one of the other things that also happens during the race is sometimes is that there are red flags, which means there is a crash. And so the race that may have normally been an hour and a half ends up extending the total televised time to like 2 hours, I think, is the most that they'll go. Anyway, the point of all that is when I'm DVRing a race, I record lots of extra time so that I don't miss anything in case there were red flags. So after I finished this last race, ESPN kept playing. Now, mind you, at this point, it's like the early morning hours of ESPN when I discovered that there's a thing called World Chase Tag. Did you know about this?
I think so. Is it like they have like obstacles and stuff that they can use to run around?
I've seen this. Yes.
I'm going to share my screen and try to describe it. There's basically random constructions of what looks like scaffolding and bars, and there's two teams, and the guy in the blue here is just running anywhere he wants to go, and the guy in the gray or black is just trying to touch him before time runs out.
Yeah.
So it's like a spin-off of parkour. They can flip and jump and like go on all the levels of the scaffolding, but they have to stay within the bounds of this angled edge.
Yeah,
I found myself watching a few minutes of World Chase Tag, and this wasn't just World Chase. This was the like global championships of this. And yes. I love stumbling upon things that you didn't even know were a real thing. And this was definitely one of them.
Dude, you talk about YouTube rabbit holes, and this is one that I went down a while ago. Watching grown men play chase in a world championship. It's like we brought it up at one point in time. It's like that thing that you dream about when you're a kid. That's just like, man, I want to be so good at tag that I can be professional at tag. I think I might be the best tag person ever.
And there's an arena and there's fans
and they're sponsored.
There's sponsors. These guys have like traveled to, we've been part of the same. I mean, there's a whole backstory on all these athletes. I don't.
Now, granted, like, they're all like appliance salesmen still. Like, they're not, this isn't their full-time gig, but it's still really cool that this exists for the dreamers.
It's like somebody watched the Jackie Chan bit with him like jumping between painting scaffolding and scaffolding was like, I think I got a plan. I think this could be something. Well, fascinating. If like you're not following on YouTube, you should follow us and watch there. Or just go to YouTube and search and find it. It's really interesting looking.
I was at least glad that they televised it after F1, because that kind of tells you where they are. But still, like, there's like national hobby horse competitions where like people have a hobby horse and have to jump over obstacles and stuff. Like, these are whole things that, yeah, exist in our world. Anyway, I'm tapped out. That's all I got, guys.
Well, I think you both failed to mention the second annual LegoCon that was on this past Saturday.
Oh, goodness.
2 hours streamed directly to YouTube, because why not? Streaming directly from the Lego headquarters in Billund, Denmark. And they announced a bunch of new products. Also, 90th anniversary sets, Knight's Castle and like the original spaceship. They're redoing those.
Nice.
That's very cool. Some other stuff you can check out at lego.com. That was interesting. Also, watching Obi-Wan, not talking about that one yet, but very excited to, because it's on. Indeed. I'm watching Miss Marvel. I'm watching Orville. Season 3 is back with a nice, healthy budget, thanks, Disney. And we've still got things like Lego Masters and Only Murders in the Season, in the Building Season 2 coming soon. So tons of interesting stuff on.
Hold on. Is Orville, is that the Seth MacFarlane thing?
Yep.
Yeah, it's back on Hulu.
Wow.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It took like a 3-year hiatus.
No kidding.
All because, I mean, it was on before Disney was a majority owner of Hulu.
Yeah.
And it was on Fox streaming through Hulu. Then it moved exclusively to Hulu. And now it's on Hulu and nothing else. And so really, Fox is owned by Disney. So really, it's a Disney show, which I'm a really big fan of. The show, I think it started out much sillier than it is now. It's really almost just a Star Trek series now with some jokes mixed in. I think Disney needs to lean into this because they've got Star Wars as an obvious, like, iconic franchise. But this show could be a whole thing that they don't really have on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
They could do another 3 or 4 seasons of the show in the vein of Star Trek and keep it a little silly. And they just need to lean into it. It could be a really great Disney Plus show eventually.
That was a very succinct and thoughtful rundown of everything you've been watching. I'm very impressed also feeling a little guilty that it took me so long to do like 2 things. But Sherry also brought up season 2 of Only Murderers in the Building. And I know we talked a lot about that in previous episodes, how much we enjoyed it.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it to come back with Lego Masters. And I'm sure there's more. I had been watching Outlander. Season 5 and 6 are available now, and I haven't watched any of season 5 and 6. I have a free trial of Apple TV Plus. I got to watch through Ted Lasso for like a 6th time before we lose our Apple TV trial, just because it's such a good show. Plenty to watch. No shortage of things to watch.
But yet so little time and so much landscaping that needs done. It did inspire me watching SB mowing. I'm like, you know what sounds fun? I'm gonna go edge and mow.
You're about 30 seconds in, you're like, why isn't this fun like watching it on YouTube with Taco Bell in my mouth and a Mountain Dew on my desk?
The Taco Bell Mountain Dew thing, those are the things I need. You have a cup holder on that mower?
I don't even have a riding mower.
Beer hat with Mountain Dew in it, then.
Beer hat with Mountain Dew in it. That is perfect.
There you go.
Love it.
And anything else, fellas? From the string in front of your mouth. Next week,
yes,
we're going to be dropping our episode a day or two late, probably a day late. Look for it on Thursday instead of Wednesday. However, don't ignore us on Wednesday, because we will be dropping at least one piece of special content for you that we find very exciting. And there's a certain percentage of you that will also find it exciting. If that's you or not, you log into the YouTube, because that's where you're going to find it, exclusively on YouTube. And while you're there, if you dare, hit the like button.
And the dingy bell.
And the subscribe thing and the whatever the things that it is that YouTube people usually ask you to do.
Do those things. Yeah.
So repeat 160 will be a day or two late, but don't tune us out. We'll still drop some good content on the Wednesday because we like to drop things in the middle of your week on From the Middle. What's that smell, you might ask? That is Artius Man Tinderbox beard oil that I have in, and it's amazing. And if you want to know where you can get some, go to artiusman.com. That's artiusman.com. Fill your cart with amazing men's beard grooming products, as well as candles and shampoos and conditioners and body soaps and lotions and salves and balms. And use promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout. That's THEMIDDLE at checkout, all one phrase, and you will get 25% off your first order. Use their amazing products. Thanks, Artius Man, and we will catch you all next week, just a day or two later.
Shampoo is better. I go on first and clean the hair. Conditioner is better. I make the hair silky and smooth.
Oh, really, fool?
Really?
Stop looking at me, Schwann.